Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick, and you're hearing sound there from 50 years ago this week, at the height of the civil rights era in America. Students at Howard University in Washington, D.C., as they took over the school's administration building.
We feel that the administration must give some public indication that they will move to establish democracy and a black-oriented curriculum before we can discontinue our protests. Our position is legitimate, and we must continue to push for all of our demands.
That's Adrian Mans Israel, one of the student protest leaders at Howard in 1968. The sit-in lasted several days. Martin Luther King would be assassinated less than 2 weeks after it ended. The sit-in was commemorated in an episode of the landmark documentary series Eyes on the Prize. Tony Gittins was a student leader on the Howard campus in 1968. 50 years ago this week, today he's director of the Washington, D.C. International Film Festival, and he looks back on those days of protest and talks about what he sees in student protesters of today.
It actually took years of working with students and trying to point out some of the problems, not only at the university, but in the United States at the time, to get to the point where the leaders of the sit-in were able to mobilize so many other students, some 1,200 students, to go into the administration building and sit there for 4 days. The university had tried to put several of us out of the university. As a matter of fact, they, the previous year, had expelled about 15 of us for essentially being protesters and disruptors of campus activities as they were going along, and we just had enough. We were able to make that point to the other students that this was just unjust, and we started walking towards the administration building, and we thought that there would be usually about 50 of us who would be sitting there, and I remember turning around and seeing 100 or so students following us in there, which was quite amazing. Over maybe an hour, there were 1,200 students sitting in that building, refusing to get up until the university made some kind of reasonable response to our demands.
How did the imperatives of civil rights in those protests start to permeate Howard University? Because there were a lot of people sort of trying to keep the bubble inflated.
The Black Power movement was very strong in 68, 1967. Stokely Carmichael, the folks from SNCC and the other militants off of campus were demanding that the whole country turn around its racist attitudes towards African Americans then. Of course, we were part of that conversation, and I had spent some time with the SNCC folks down south. And we, of course, you know, wanted to be part of this historic movement to create environments in the United States where African Americans were treated properly.
There were a lot of different catalysts, as you said, Mr. Gittins, that led up to this moment on campus. One of them, a notable one, was a visit the year before by Muhammad Ali, the champ, who at the time was in the middle of one of the most famous Black Power and civil rights protests ever himself. Talk about that visit and what it meant.
Quite amazing. I was head of a committee, student committee called Project Awareness, and that committee brought speakers like Muhammad Ali to campus. And we just sort of knew that, heard that day that he was going to come, and the word went out on campus, and hundreds of students gathered in front of Douglas Hall where Muhammad Ali spoke. And he... people don't know how popular, internationally popular, this man was. He was a hero to all of us. He took a stand. And if someone like him can take a stand, I mean, it told us that we as students were privileged. I mean, you're a student in the United States at a campus like Howard University. You were privileged. If he could do it, we could do it. And we needed to do more than he was doing. So he was an inspiration to the kind of movement that led us into that building that day.
Mr. Gittins, one of your demands and the demands of other students in this movement was to identify Howard University as a Black university. Can you explain what that was about?
Students were treated as though we were children. There was compulsory ROTC. There were all kinds of demands on us to perform in a way that they felt were becoming to a Howard University student, which essentially were to be more white middle class kinds of people. And we didn't want that. We wanted a way to self-identify as African Americans and all that came with that, to feel comfortable in our own skin, so to speak. Internally, we wanted to have the curriculum geared towards the university as a service to the African-American community, that it should be a center of Black intelligentsia, Black research. The medical school should focus as much as it could on the needs of the Black community. On the outside, we felt that the university had created this bubble for itself, and we felt that the university should make greater efforts to relate to the community that did have its needs. And the university, we felt, wasn't doing that.
And at the time, at your school, before the standoff and even during, there was pushback, of course, from administrators, but even from other African-American students, your colleagues, saying that Howard should just be a university that prepares Black students for what was called at the time by many of them mainstream American life, not a Black university per se.
Well, yes, that's true. But, you know, you find that kind of element and point of view in all movements and all attempts to move the game forward. But I will say that in our case at Howard, that those folks came around and most of them found themselves sitting in that administration building right beside us.
Tony Gittins, you still live in Washington, D.C. today. Howard University is one of the preeminent African-American universities in America. What's the state of the school today in light of the sit-in that you engaged in 50 years ago?
Well, I would say that a lot of what we wanted then is being reflected in the university now. Many, many African-American studies programs, but there are also other facets of the university that would not exist without the sit-in and what some of us did that day. There is no more compulsory ROTC, and that wasn't by the insights of the leaders. It's because students prior to the sat in the president's office and insisted that go away.
When you survey the landscape of protest now, what do you see?
Well, I'm hoping that especially the students study the civil rights movement and learn from the history of the civil rights movement. And two things come to my mind. The first is that it's a long-term struggle. It's a long-term struggle. And I hope that the students at Stoneman Douglas and the parents of the folks at Sandy Hook, that it takes a long time. These people are not going to change their mind just like that. They are dug in. They the folks at the NRA are dug in. If one looks at the civil rights movement, you're talking about decades of hard work and struggle. And when the press goes away, you have to decide that you're just going to keep going. You're going to keep going until you get what you want. It will not happen overnight. What we found is that you got to cause the other side some kind of discomfort and pain. They are dug in, that they're not going to just all of a sudden decide sympathetically to take your side. And they have to feel some discomfort. It took years of us protesting and protesting and negotiating. And they spent a long time talking to these people over and over. And they'll sit on the other side of the table and listen to you and walk away and keep doing what they're doing. And that's how something like the sit-in at Howard occurred, that you get to the point that you say, enough, enough. I just don't trust you anymore. I got to do something to embarrass you. And that's what happens. And I just hope that the folks who are demonstrating and being activists now keep both of those in mind.
Tony Gittins was a student leader at the 1968 protests on Howard University's campus 50 years ago this week. Tony Gittins, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Todd.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.